Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Frank Caliendo on the show, in studio. We also have NFL Week 13 picks and preview. Thursday Night Football recap. Brian Kelly is now a Southerner. Fantasy fuckboys. And, very important, we all read one single article on the MLB lockout, and we give you exactly what happens or is going to happen with the MLB lockout now that we're experts, and we're brought to you by our friends at...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Oh.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Tostitos, the official chip and dip of the NFL. Today is Friday. I almost said November, but it's actually December, December 3rd. And Dan Quinn, backwards date Dan Quinn, cool guy Dan Quinn, he's won a game. The Dallas Cowboys beat the Saints. Taysom Hill, maybe not the guy.
Dan Quinn with the backwards hat is a new man, Big Cat.
Yeah.
When he's rocking the backwards hat, he means business. That's Danny Quinn up there. That you can throw what you know about Dan Quinn, old Daniel, out the window. This is Danny Quinn, and he means business. Mike
Very
McCarthy
happy.
Is watching right now, probably smashing, like he's got a sledgehammer, he's smashing a birthday cake with the word Wuhan on it, and he's just like, God damn it, I may have been usurped. Not by the coordinator that I thought was going to take my job, because Kellen Moore had some really weird play calling down the stretch. But Dan Quinn, he looks so comfortable now.
And in a touching tribute to Mike McCarthy, who was out with COVID, Dan Quinn made sure that they went into the locker room running out of time, kicking a field goal at the end of the first half with two timeouts in their back pocket.
Yeah.
That was nice. It was like Mike McCarthy is here. It's like
When Jason Kidd would shoot foul shots and he'd give like a little signal to his kid at home.
Yeah. I was going to say, what was the Loyola Marymount? Who's the guy who died? Give it to me.
Oh.
Give it to me, Jake.
Whoa.
Way back in the day. Way back in the day. I'm talking about way back in the day. And then his Bo Kimble shot the free throw left-handed for his fallen teammate. That's kind of what Dan Quinn was doing with Mike McCarthy.
Hank Gathers.
There it is. I knew I had it somewhere in the old brain. But yeah, Thursday Night Football, a couple things. Cowboys offense still kind of looks weird. Like you said, Kellen Moore, they just look off. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Everything feels a little out of rhythm, a little bit clunky. Shout out Marcus Williams for that incredible, I don't want to get my ankles broken on national television, so I'm going to let Tony Pollard run by me, touchdown. But yeah, their offense looks a little clunky, and Taysom Hill, the biggest takeaway is maybe we now understand why Sean Payton has always flirted with Taysom Hill and never been like, hey, you're our quarterback.
I think they need to give him a new contract. I think that, if anything,
yes.
that's a quarterback that needs to have the confidence of the front office behind him when he plays. Give him another 10-year contract. Maybe load him up for like $150 million guaranteed this time.
Yes, yes.
He loves underthrowing his receivers on comeback routes.
Yes.
Like 11-yard passes.
Yes.
But his receiver's like 14 yards away when he checks back to the ball. I swear to God, there were like 7 or 8 passes tonight where I was like, maybe he caught it, but no, it was clearly a short hop on the field. He looked, I'll say something nice about Taysom Hill. In the first like 3 quarters, he didn't look awful. The first interception was not on him.
Yeah.
I like the way he goes into the huddle. He does the Drew Brees, like really lean forward onto that knee like a dog taking a piss.
Yep.
And
he can run.
He's fun when he runs, but anytime he has to throw a pass that's that requires any degree of touch on it. He can throw a bomb too, but he'll either try to throw a touch pass and he'll get picked off, or he'll throw a pass like negative 1 yards into the flat. I always think when it's the Saints, I always am reminded of the Reggie Bush playing the playoffs.
Yeah.
On that play in the flat where Sheldon Brown just laid him out.
Yes.
But yeah, Taysom Hill probably not the quarterback of the future, but I still like Taysom Hill in small doses.
And the Saints are very banged up. Obviously, I think their season is officially over just because credit to the Saints, they've kind of kept in a lot of these games, even though they haven't, you know, I mean, I guess they got a little bit blown out by the Bills on Thanksgiving night, but like, they still have a little punch. They still have a good roster, and defensively they stay in it, but man, they like that. Taysom Hill is just the whole entire offense. Kamara not being there, Michael Thomas just retiring early, which sucks.
Yeah.
The whole thing just feels like it's falling apart. Now, the Cowboys.
I like Billy's take on Taysom Hill, by the way. It was like he's the Nate Diaz of quarterbacks. Where he said, what'd you say?
He may not win, but you'll respect him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we can kind of amp that up a little bit to, like, he'll just straight up get his ass kicked.
Yeah, and you're like, damn, that guy's tough.
But then afterwards, you're like, he didn't stop running.
Yeah.
You know?
He really kept on trying really hard, and he did have a splint, like an old school splint you get when you jam your finger playing basketball. Mm-hmm. On his middle finger, on his throwing hand.
Russell Wilson came back in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill came back in 3 minutes.
Well, I think it also, it kind of just proves like, hey, Taysom Hill, you're not really there to throw it accurately. I would imagine most quarterbacks either, I don't know if he broke his finger or jammed his finger, they would either come out of the game or not wear a splint and tough that out. He's like, you know what? Like, throwing's not really my thing anyway.
Yeah.
So what does this matter?
I also think Sean Payton has the biggest mood swings of any head coach, but when he's in love with you, he's really in love with you.
Yeah.
So even though Taysom Hill had probably a pretty much broken hand and was still out there playing, this was a guy that liked Trevor Siemian a lot a couple weeks
ago.
But now he really likes Taysom Hill a lot.
He does get credit, though, for calling Teddy Bridgewater. He tried to get Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep.
So he tried to do that. I think this just means Jameis needs to get more and more money. All these games would be so much fun.
He wins this game if he has one leg.
Yeah. We got to talk about... So Trayvon Diggs, obviously, he got his 9th pick, and we've joked that he should be the MVP of the season. He is now no longer the best defensive player on the Cowboys. Michael Parsons is insane.
Yeah.
I saw a stat that Michael Parsons, he's already surpassed all of Chase Young's defensive rookie of the year stats,
mm-hmm.
and we still have 5 games left. Like, he
so, so
is
that means
just,
he's going to stink next year.
Yeah, he's going to stink there and maybe get hurt. Hopefully not, knock on wood. But he's like, even that pick, the Taysom Hill pick that was along the sideline on that wheel route, Michael Parsons was playing defense on the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was who's playing receiver for the Saints?
They've got Lil Jordan Humphrey.
Yeah, who I love.
That's a great name. They've got Callaway, right?
Yeah. Do they have
Harris?
Do they have Kenny Stills?
Harris?
No.
Yeah, they got Harris.
Do they have Kenny Stills?
I don't know.
I don't think so. But either way, Michael Parsons was like 20 yards.
He's on the team.
Oh, okay, so that's who he was defending. Active. No, I think that's who he was defending. He was defending Kenny Stills on a wheel route. He was 20 yards down the field playing cornerback, and he was the one who broke up that pass that led to the interception on the sideline. Like, he's all over the place.
I want to see him play some tight end.
It's crazy.
He's awesome. He's probably the best athlete on the field at any given time.
Yeah.
And Danny Quinn's job is to just, let him cause havoc, create havoc. That's the game plan for Michael Parsons. He does a good job of it. I'll just say this for the Saints offense. You might want to consider putting at least one guy to block Micah Parsons on 3rd down and 5.
Yes.
It might be a good idea if you're dropping back to pass.
Kenny Stills, I'm looking at it right now. This is either a combination of Kenny Stills not being Kenny Stills anymore or Taysom Hill just not getting the ball to his wide receivers, which happened a lot where mm-hmm. it's like it was technically a target because that was the one he was throwing to. Kenny Stills had 5 targets, 0 catches, 0 yards.
Yeah. If we're playing by cricket rules, though, Taysom Hill threw a lot of good balls.
Yeah.
There's like
sure.
a little skip.
I don't know what to make of the Cowboys, to be honest with you, because they do have, like, CeeDee Lamb is fucking electric.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all the weapons, and Tony Pollard's incredible. Zeke's obviously banged up. But don't you get the feeling like it's just clunky? Their offense looks clunky. It looks like everything is just a beat off.
It's a little inconsistent, but I think that's also holding them to the expectation of how good they can be.
And
like,
they have been
like
good.
They got Gallup out there. He's a beast.
Yeah,
that touchdown catch that he had.
Yeah,
that was one of the best catches that I've seen all year round. I think he's going to be a free agent after this year. But yeah, their offense is so good, especially at the skill positions, that when they kind of falter a little bit, you're like, what's wrong with the Cowboys?
Yeah,
and it's just they're not meeting my expectations that I have. I'm going to need them to clean that up.
All right. So the other news. So that was Thursday Night Football. We're off and running Week 13. The other news is Brian Kelly's now a Southerner. No one ask any questions. $100 million. He's a Southerner.
Larry the Cajun guy.
I wish we could have like had a bet on this, because this is, I'm not even gonna be mad at Brian Kelly for this, because this is just college football coaching 101.
I love it.
Like, Lincoln Riley is now is a Cali bro.
He's gonna be like, what's up, dude?
Yeah, like, it's, they just take the lives of other people. It's like that Ethan Hawke movie. What's that movie called? Taking Lives, I think, is actually called. When he's a serial killer and he just takes the lives of other human beings.
Brian Kelly's just a Brian Kelly's a sponge. He absorbs whatever culture you put him in.
Yes.
But just be thankful he didn't take the Grambling job, because that first speech would have been a little bit different.
Yeah, but he it was very funny. I don't know. It's going to be a weird fit for him. I'm excited to watch it, just because why not? And then we also got
it was very funny, though, when he came out and he was like, I'd like to thank my family.
Family, yeah. Yeah, Ethan Hawke, Taking Lives.
The great state of Louisiana.
It's we found out that LSU, that terrible, terrible video that they posted that looked like a Doug's video, it was actually stolen from Notre Dame.
I kind of respected that.
Like,
move,
straight
by the
up
way.
Ripped. It was a Notre Dame video that they just put a green screen and they voiced over every time Brian Kelly said Notre Dame.
Didn't they also? They also changed the lapel pin that he had, yes, from an Indy to an LSU, which I actually love it. I don't mind it at all. This is petty wars,
yeah,
in college football. If you're going to be the villain and steal another team's coach, like, really lean into it and be like, yeah, we got him. What are you going to do about it? Here's a poorly constructed ransom video we made.
Yes. All right. Anything else before we get to... Oh, we went to the Mecca tonight. Hank and I went to the Mecca. We saw actually a very good basketball game, Bulls-Knicks.
Not the best basketball game tonight, though.
Yeah.
That would be the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Drake curse is back. Mm-hmm. It was the worst loss in NBA history.
Yep.
They got the brakes beaten off them. Free Dort.
Not counting this against
hashtag
Dort.
Free Dort.
Yeah, and Shai Gilgeous. You got to free him as well. But yeah, the Thunder.
And John Morant wasn't playing.
Don't worry, the Thunder. You have like 75 first-round picks. Oh, I forgot to mention this. This is actually last thing before we get to the weekend preview. If the season ended right now, you know how we always do it with the playoffs? Did you see this? I'm sure you did, PFD, but I don't know if everyone else did. But if the season ended today in the NFL, the NFL draft would go... First pick Detroit, second pick Houston, third pick Jacksonville. Everyone expects that. Fourth pick Jets, fifth pick Jets, sixth pick Giants, seventh pick Giants, eighth pick Eagles, ninth pick Eagles. So six picks in a row for three teams. It's kind of a fun little thing.
I want to see the Eagles try to package that and then move up to where the Jets are.
Yeah.
And see how much the difference. Break out the old Jimmy Johnson draft value chart and let me know what they'd have to add in to move up like two spots with two of their picks.
Well, if Gettleman's still there, he would probably trade his sixth and seventh for the Jets' fourth straight up.
Yeah.
So the Jets have three picks in the
and
top
then draft
10.
The same offensive lineman twice.
Yes, yes.
We really want to be committed to this guy.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it.
Oh, so, there is one last
okay
thing. Today, we should celebrate. I feel like this is something that Jake would really...
Our 500th episode.
Yeah, 500th episode. Big 500. But this is something Jake would really appreciate. Today's date is 12022021.
That's too many numbers.
Which is a palindrome.
And an anagram.
And if you flip it upside down,
Benjamin Rathbone,
it's the same upside down as it is right
flight
side up.
Hester Moffat, the rest of me. Wait, so what is it? Do it again? These are things I have to see.
Okay.
I can't be told them.
Forwards and backwards.
So this is what
same
the Bucks
thing
did, right? Yeah.
But then also watch this trick,
same
big
thing
cat.
Okay. Got it.
Flip it upside down.
Turn your laptop
upside
down. Let me just wait. 12:02:22. Okay, got it.
And then upside
it's
down.
It's like the boobs trick on the calculator.
Yes.
Got it.
That's what an anagram is.
But yeah, no one writes their ones and twos like that.
Calculators do. Robots do. Now they're fucking. Billy taught us about that.
Like, if you did it like this, it wouldn't. If you did it like this, so mm-hmm. 1, 2,
it's
was
still
it 0, 2?
One, no, you're on screwed
2, 2, 0, 2, 1.
12. No, I got it right.
120-22-021.
That was so confusing the way you just said those numbers.
1202. Yeah.
120, 22.
And don't listen to Billy.
021.
I mean, this does.
Yeah, it looks the same.
Same.
It does.
The exact
it
same.
Looks the same. Yeah. Perfect.
Retrospect.
I'm so bad whenever, if you say like more than three numbers in a row, I've already blanked it out.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, our brains aren't built to hold that sort of. That's, I mean, why God invented calculators.
This is coming from the guy who forgot his PIN number that he had for a decade. So, no surprise. I can't figure this one out.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a cool fact. Fun fact: the scoregami of dates.
Oh, there's one other thing about the Saints game tonight. That the blindside block that they called on the Saints fullback. I think that the NFL just likes to sprinkle in one or two of those calls every Saints game. Just to remind Sean Payton, like, I still hate you.
Yeah.
We're still at war right now.
Yeah.
And he'll probably just go ahead and suspend or fine the fullback, because Goodell loves to do that. If there's a bad call that everyone's mad about, he'll actually come over the top and back up his officials and be like, actually, it was the right call by the letter of the law, and it's worth of a fine.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Billy, last thing.
I do have a small update on that wristband story. Turns out the Patriots have launched an investigation with the NFL to find out if the wristband has been stolen.
So maybe you were the one who catapulted
Billy's
this.
A narc.
The guy who I actually feel bad because I might have narked.
Yeah,
you are a narc.
Someone else narked first.
Stop snitching.
Okay.
It's on brand for you, though.
Okay, yeah, it's very on brand. Narc. All right, let's get to our weekend Fake preview cop. And MLB lockout talk. Okay.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Before we do the weekend preview, we are going to address MLB lockout, and we are going to do it in a way that only we know how. Everyone in this room has read one single article about the lockout. We are then going to use all of the information we have absorbed from that. Now, note, PFT read his article yesterday.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a brown nose on that one.
Yeah, but
teacher's
also,
pet.
You might have lost a little information.
Oh, I definitely, I did not retain it.
So let's do it. Round table, everyone can hop in with the article they read. I'll start. Rob Manfred said, we understand it's bad for the business. So I'm going to probably take Rob Manfred's side, because he said it right there in the article I read, that he understands this is bad for business.
The lockout is bad for the business.
Lockout is bad for business and bad for the fans.
Right. I read an article on Breitbart.com yesterday, and Rob Manfred he's doing the lockout, and they're doing the lockout now because if they waited any longer to do it, then it would impact opening day.
Mm.
So they're doing today what I would just push off till much later and then suffer the repercussions because we would miss games.
Got it.
Also read that the players want they want a higher ceiling before the luxury tax kicks in.
Mm.
The owners say, why don't we just do a higher floor? Let's increase the basement level instead of raising the roof.
Got it. Okay. Anyone else? Oh, I also got one other note. Petty Wars. I think I read a very slanted for the MLB side article, now that
Not
I'm saying
me.
This, because it was all Rob Manfred quotes being like, this is a shame, it's too bad they can't figure it out. But unfortunately, the assignment was to read one single article. Petty Wars MLB removed all player photos and news from their websites.
I think that's just Legal Wars.
Legal Wars.
Oh.
But also Petty Wars.
I must have read a Tony Clark players article.
Okay, this is good. This is called seeing every side of the story here.
Fair Tony Clark was throwing shade on Rob Manfred by saying it would have been beneficial to the process to have spent as much time negotiating in the room as it appears it was spent on the letter. So he's saying
he said your letter's too nice.
Yeah, he's saying there's not good faith.
Yeah,
they don't want to negotiate. Manfred just wants to, you know,
what about
type up a letter and be done with it.
What about Rob Manfred? He said we understand it's bad for business, Hank. He understands. It's bad for business.
But does he understand? Maybe he could understand a little bit more it being bad for business if he wasn't spending all his time selecting appropriate fonts for the letter. It sounds like this letter is a real problem.
Also, I don't know how long it takes to take everyone's photo off the website, but that might have been a little bit of time, too, they could have used negotiating. But I'm still team Rob Manfred here. Mm-hmm. Billy?
I took notes.
Oh.
First point. The union wants younger players to be paid more.
Okay, that's good.
I do think it's weird how in baseball, you're extremely poor in the minor leagues. And then once you get to Major League Baseball, then it's all gravy from there, right? Because in the minor leagues, I feel like players have to room with each other and like share toilet paper. It sounds like jail.
I think his name's Tony, who I've been following him for a long time, very funny Twitter account. Remember he was the Blues fan who found
Solocity,
hockey.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. He had a very funny tweet that was like, baseball's the one sport where you just eat ramen for like 7 years and then one day they give you $100 million.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what happens.
You crap into a trash can while you're in the minors and then you get to the big leagues and next thing you know, you're giving away Ferraris.
Yes, okay, so Billy, what do you think? Like,
there's three more points.
Okay, sorry.
Pro or anti-union?
We're just the facts.
We're just
second
reporting
point.
The facts. Rob Manfred says this is bad for business. Just want to reiterate that.
Owners want to reallocate spending towards young players because they value them more.
And they're not because they're cheaper.
Got it.
Because they value them more.
They value them more. They want to pay a guy $2 million instead of $1 million instead of pay a guy $300 million instead of $250. That makes sense economically.
Third point. Union wants spending increased on salaries because revenue increased.
Okay. So they want...
Yeah, but what about COVID?
Then here's the checkmate.
He said revenue increase.
What about COVID? Forget COVID.
Billy, what about... So it says revenue increased. Is that the revenue of actually the baseball team or is that the revenue for... In certain circumstances, the surrounding district of the ballpark, because that's totally different.
No, for the baseball team.
Okay.
Got it.
Then this is the checkmate where the owners checkmate them. Because
Billy is team owner.
Mm-hmm. No. But so in the leagues that where revenue increases, spending on salaries increased, some of the salaries are paid by the league. And that means they need to put in a salary cap. And then that's the checkmate.
What league has salaries that are paid by the league?
Part of them.
Oh, you mean minor leagues?
NFL, NBA, NHL.
NFL
salaries are paid by the teams, but the teams get revenue sharing. No, they're paid by their owners. The owners.
Spot here, boys.
It sounds like we have to read at least one more article.
This was an LA Times article.
All I know is, again, I'm going to reiterate that it's bad. Rob Manfred knows it's bad for business, and unfortunately, it's out of his hands. He has no ability to impact change here.
I have a stay woke on this whole situation. This is the most that we've talked about baseball and Part of My Take since the season was over. Mm-hmm. Is there really a lockout, or are they just telling us that there's a lockout and the players are free to come and go? It's like a wag the dog situation where it's a fake lockout.
It was also cool that they basically everyone panicked before the lockout and did their free agency, which was nice to have free agency again in November and December, which usually last year we didn't have it till like February. Shout out Marcus Stroman. Jake will hopefully bring some clarity for us.
So I read the CBS Sports article, and basically there are a plethora of issues that they're fighting over.
Here
from the player's perspective, there's a declining average player salary, so they want to boost that up. Teams are purposely holding players back, prospects back.
Chris Bryant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to delay their arbitration, which I don't fully understand, to be transparent.
I know what arbitration is. Arbitration is a hilarious process. Arbitration is you sit down in a room and your agent gives the salary that you think you're deserved. Then the team gives the salary that they think that you're deserved. And then a guy opens up an envelope and says the number that he believes is the number that they deserve. And then whoever's number is closer, they get all that suggested.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Deal or No Deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I agree that they have to figure out that rule because it does make no sense. For people who don't follow baseball, there's a clock that starts when you get drafted and like your service time clock. So famously, it's happened multiple times with multiple teams, but Chris Bryant was good enough to be on the Cubs opening day roster. Theo Epstein was like, if we hold him back for 15 days, I think it was 10 days, he then gets we get another year of holding his rights.
Right.
So it's a stupid rule. I think that if it continues, you can't really blame teams for doing it. So they got to fix the rule.
And there's a tanking problem, which I guess the players, understandably so.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, there's
the Orioles are losing 100 games a year.
There's like five teams that are good in baseball. That's what the issue is. There's so many. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm getting out of my depth. This was not included in the article that I read, so I won't say anything else.
I think the only way you could fix a tanking problem is just have the baseball season end before football starts.
That's a good idea, too.
Right?
Fair. Mm-hmm. What, also, this says...
Also, less games, less chance to tank. Like, think about it this way. If they played 100 games, no one's going to have 100 losses. No one's tanking.
The Mets, Gordon Frank. 0-162, so they'd probably be 0-100.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. That's
yeah.
right.
I also read that they're thinking about doing... This is one thing that I'm totally in favor of. The owners are suggesting that they do an NBA-style draft lottery instead of doing what the procedure is that they have now. So that means that they would be using a ping pong ball machine.
Mm.
So I like that.
Yes.
All in all, a fluid situation, which we kind of saw with COVID, which is kind of annoying, but they won't give real answers until something happens.
Mm. Okay, and so we have someone who could tell us everything. That's the most you're going to get. I think that was actually a pretty good...
That was guys on labor.
Yeah, that was a
guys
really...
Guys in labor.
That was a really good explanation of what's going on. All right, let's talk some NFL. Let's talk some sports that people watch. No offense to baseball, but let's talk some NFL. I just went to look at the NFL schedule, and all the preseason games in baseball are TBD. That's cool because of the labor stoppage. All right, week 13. I know you guys hate when I do this, but we have to give the speech. I have to give the speech again. We are now at the point where there's not going to be Saturday football after this week because of college football championship week. We're getting down to it. Like, the fact that there's only five games left, that's fucked up.
Why are you doing this?
Because I want everyone to be warned.
You know, Big Cat, one day everyone hearing the sound of a voice is going to die alone.
Let them know. Well, they're not going to die in 2 months, hopefully.
Yeah, but I don't want to know this. I want to pretend like I've got football for the rest of my life.
Yep. Okay, well, I'm gonna keep just letting everyone know just a little. Cherish the moment. This week kind of stinks. There's some weird games, mismatches. But let's get to it. Jake, do you have the updated?
Yes. Congrats to PFT, 5-0 with the extra turkey pick.
Thank you.
Nice.
Big Cat, you
and you bet
I...
them all, right?
I did not bet. I think I bet one of them. I had a very, very bad week last. I'll get to it later. Actually, I am in the midst of my most responsible decision making ever, gambling. I'll explain later.
The two of us went 4-0 in our regulars, lost our turkeys. So overall, Hank still with a nice 2.5 game lead on PFT, who's alone in second. So you're in the dangerous spot.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, Billy, Big Cat tied at 26-23, and Liam at 25-24. So PFT.
So
and
it's
Liam.
Tight.
Hey, Bubba. Yes. I got an idea.
6 weeks to
I'm
go.
Listening.
What do you think about convertible?
Oh, I love it.
Convertible, take it across Route 66?
Yeah.
I love it. I'm actually excited about this now because Big Cat and Hank never let me rent a convertible when we go
again,
on the road.
Again.
Because it's always in the middle of January.
No, that's
when we
not,
go on
that
the road.
Actually has nothing to do with it. It's the fact that we have like a 5-man operation with a bunch of camera equipment.
Yeah, but
and I think about the guys behind the cameras, and a convertible never makes sense.
A convertible.
Right.
I'm yeah, Bubba convertible.
Yeah, we're going to rock the whole way down.
Well. Yeah. Hell yeah, maybe a Camaro.
Yeah.
I don't like having to be the parent sometimes and be like, convertible makes no sense for five of us.
No.
Well, with like camera bags and shit.
There are other ways that we can deal with that. We're getting a convertible, Bubba. I'm going to pull a Billy and adjust my picks on a weekly basis so that I try to win second
there
place.
There we go. Hank, get us started. Favorite, we'll talk about each game we touch on.
Ravens -4.5 versus the Steelers. Chalky pick, but I love it.
I hate it. But I'm also stupid because I still think like the problem I'm having with the Steelers right now is they're very bad and Big Ben is very bad. But Mike Tomlin is the quintessential like rah-rah when you count them out coach. They're going to play one more good game this year.
Mm-hmm.
And why not against the Ravens?
I mean, this is why they invented the cliche throughout the record books when the Steelers and the Ravens get together.
These
two teams don't like each other. This is old school AFC North football. I like the Steelers a lot in this game.
And the Ravens are like quietly, they're winning, but they're not playing well.
They're like, covering though.
Well, they didn't. Yeah, they covered Sunday night. Yeah, they covered Sunday night.
They lost to the Dolphins.
They didn't cover the opening line against the Bears. They lost to the Dolphins. I don't think they covered against the Vikings.
They did look like shit last week, even though they covered. Like that's not a good game for the Ravens.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's one of those rare we lost or we won, but let's still burn the tape.
All right. So the Steelers are bad. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say the Steelers are good. I'm just very worried. I'm going to look right now of when the Steelers are going to decide to have their last stand, and everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, are the Steelers back? No, Mike Tomlin's just really good at getting everyone pumped up for these games. Maybe it'll be the Chiefs in week 16. Maybe
that's four, by the way.
What?
-4.
-4. All right, so yeah. Hank's on the board. That's a 4:25 kickoff. I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we get to watch that game.
They're probably
going to
go double renegade in Pittsburgh. This feels like a double renegade
it's
game.
It's cheating to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to do it. I think you can only pull it out once or twice a season. And against the Ravens at home, yeah, this smells like double renegade.
Yep. There's only three. Oh, no, there's four 4 o'clock games. All right. Liam, Bubba, your favorite.
I'm taking Eagles -6.5.
I like it.
I have a new system, very complex, of just betting against the Jets.
Oh.
Mm. So, yeah.
Okay.
That's smart.
Yeah.
I like that. I do think you get a bonus. I saw a stat today that, like, in all the advanced stats, Zach Wilson is last in every single one.
Well, they can't be that advanced then.
Yeah.
Because he's the future.
He is the future, but he's... Yeah.
We didn't have that he didn't throw an interception for, like, 6 consecutive weeks.
That's true, including a bye week
in
all
the United
injuries.
States, I mean...
I like it just because it feels like the Jets are getting credit for beating the Texans, and like, who should get credit for that?
Yeah. Also, this is Joe Flacco revenge game. He's probably not happy with the way things ended in Philadelphia, bringing Gardner Minshew, shipping him up to Broadway. I actually like the Eagles in this. If you look at the deep numbers that we've been talking about, this is a system play.
Yeah,
for that.
It is.
So the Eagles didn't cover last week. The Jets covered last week.
And won.
Yeah, I'm taking the Eagles -7.
Yeah. Okay, so that's your pick as well. All right, I'm going to take I will take the Vikings -7, which also would be a deep numbers system play because they didn't cover against the 49ers. The Lions covered against the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the Lions... Like, at what point are we going to stop predicting the Lions are going to win a game? Because that felt like the Thanksgiving Day game against Andy Dalton and a Bears team that, like, kind of sort of fired their coach midweek was the time for the Lions to get a win. And now we're getting down to it. Like, we're getting down to it. They have the Vikings this week. They go to Mile High. They play the Cardinals, the Falcons, the Seahawks. Like, there's maybe the Falcons. I don't know.
Maybe the Seahawks.
Maybe the Seahawks, but...
I think it's this week.
You think it's this week? So you're going to take the Lions +7?
No.
Okay.
Take a money line.
Oh, God.
Let's go, Hank.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I just don't – I think the Vikings are they're a good team that has a bad record, and now they get to play a bad team. That should be a double-digit win. I'm predicting alternate line.
I want the Lions to win, but I'm not – I would not touch them with actual money.
Nope. Billy, your favorite.
Raiders -2.5.
Fuck off.
Jerk.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, Washington's time
two.
Is going to run out.
Two.
Wait, our
two
time's going to run two. Out? Time's
yeah,
up?
You've been kind of getting lucky.
What do you mean?
Were you that guy?
Don't do that, Billy.
Were you that guy?
Getting lucky? Fuck you,
were you
getting
that guy?
Lucky.
Were you that guy attacked PFT in a tweet?
You don't win lucky games 3 weeks in a row in the NFL. You don't beat Tom Brady with luck, Billy.
It's the lucky.
You don't know. Fuck you. Stop saying lucky.
It's the lucky.
Don't apologize.
I won't. I'm not going to apologize for winning.
Yeah, that guy I tagged you, and that's what Billy's saying. That guy was like, yeah, the Washington football team. Dude. Don't apologize for wins in the NFL. There is no – I mean, there is such thing as luck, but who the fuck cares?
I mean, Billy's right in a way because I do agree that time is running out in Washington. Like, I had that spidey sense that started to tingle. I didn't know what was going to be coming next. I did not – in my wildest dreams, predict that RG3 was about to say that he got sexually harassed while he was on the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what happened. We'll have to wait and see what the book says about it. Kind of thinking maybe Dan Snyder was like, hey, RG3, you want to fuck my wife?
Ooh.
That'd be spicy.
Also, hot wifing.
I saw this
That's
stat.
What it's called.
Hunter Renfrow has like 78% catch percentage when he's targeted, and it's just an insane amount of his productivity compared to his draft stock.
Oh, wow. So yeah. I would argue that the Washington football team, of their 5 wins, none of the lucky ones have come in this 3-game stretch. They did get lucky against the Giants with that, and they got a little lucky with the Falcons with that across-the-field pass at the end of the game, but they beat the Bucs, they beat the Panthers, they beat the Seahawks. Those weren't lucky wins.
I think
saw my tweet. He saw me tag that.
That's
guy.
Probably what it is.
No,
so,
no.
Billy,
this is an original thought. I was just like, Washington's been winning. It's time for them to lose.
Okay.
Not,
see,
really,
that's different.
Fair.
That's
no,
different.
I actually agree with
yes,
that.
Yes. Yes.
I don't
that's
say
different.
That, don't say that the previous wins were lucky because I don't think they were. They put a beat down on Seattle
yeah,
on Monday night.
Getting lucky.
You agreed with us, and then you're going back to your original point.
If you don't put beatdowns on teams, that almost tie the game as time
expires. Yeah, if you look at the time possession, Hank.
That's bad. 42. That's bad for the football team.
It would have been a double-digit victory if we had a kicker a hamstring. And guess what? We just signed a new kicker. His name's Brian Johnson. Same as the dude from AC/DC, so that's cool.
Let me be the arbiter of this now that we learned what arbitration is. PFT's wrong in saying it was a beatdown. Bill, you're wrong in saying they got lucky, but I think we can all agree the theory of they've been winning a lot, it's time for them to lose, that holds up in court.
Yeah.
I will
concede that point to Billy. I'll also just say, maybe for the last time, if the season ended today, the Washington football team would be in the playoffs.
Correct.
So fingers crossed for Omicron or whatever it is.
It's just time for them to get unlucky.
What was that face, Hank?
Last time we rooted for COVID.
I didn't root for COVID.
I didn't know what Omicron was.
Fingers crossed is like...
Yeah, you said, I hope Omicron shows up.
No, but then Hank said the last time we rooted for COVID. We didn't root for COVID last time. We just said that they were a fraud.
Now you're rooting for it.
Well, yeah. I guess kind of the same thing.
Yeah. But you specifically did root for it.
According to the studies that I've read about Omicron, and by studies, I mean I overheard Billy having a conversation with somebody earlier.
Nice, Jake.
It's safe.
All right, Jake, go ahead.
Taking the Dolphins -4 against the Giants. A little bit of a homer pick, but Daniel Jones, not 100%, it seems like. 500 by Christmas.
You don't believe in Mike Glennon?
No.
This just feels like a field goal game. This feels like a two-point game.
All right.
This is actually the classic case of the Giants ugging up a game, I think.
Yeah, it feels like a two-point game.
They could ug around.
It's like a 17-15 game.
Uh-huh.
And one team kicked 5 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Hank, your dog. You like all the dogs this week?
I like a lot of dogs, per usual. I was going to take the Falcons +11, and then I remembered...
There's a dude waiting in Tom Brady's locker room to steal his jersey?
No, that there's voodoo magic in the room, and when there's voodoo magic going on, you don't bet against it, or you have to ride it. You have to ride the voodoo magic. Big Cat's 11-0, betting Bears games. He did a preseason prediction where he went through every game. He's 11-0 on those predictions.
It's ridiculous.
He has the Bears beating the Cardinals this weekend, so +7.5 is just the easiest bet ever.
And the reason why I brought this to attention, because you probably shouldn't talk about a heater like this, one, it was brought to my attention, and two, I do not think the Bears are going to beat the Cardinals this week. But yeah, before the week one, I went through the schedule, and I'm 11-0 right now. Take that fucking Raiders coin flip, dude.
Yeah, I'm going up against the Raiders coin, so I would love for you to beat the coin this week. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Actually, I think, you know what? If you're both wrong this week, that's like a tie between
carries
you and the
over.
It's going to be like John Henry versus the steam engine, so you have to keep going up against the coin.
Ooh, big John Henry?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Bubba. You're underdog. Wait, so you're taking the Bears?
Taking the Bears +7.5
Is
against
Kyler
the Cardinals.
Playing?
Is Justin Fields playing?
I don't think so. Is Kyler playing?
No idea.
Mm.
Again, I'm just going
Kyler
based
versus
off.
Colt, or Andy Dalton versus Colt.
1 hour ago, Cardinals are expected to have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins on the field this Sunday, barring a setback.
This is one of those games that I will say the only thing the Bears have in their favor is that their field is always a shit show come December, so hopefully that slows Kyler Murray down.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Okay, Bubba.
I'm going against Jake and taking Giants +4. It was kind of what you said, but I feel like it's just like a sloppy game. It'll be close.
Sloppy. Maybe a little rain.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's wet. Gross. Field slipping. All right, PFT.
We get any snow this weekend?
I don't know.
Hope for some snow. I'm getting the Seahawks +3.5.
Is your fridge full?
What's up?
Is your fridge full?
What do you mean?
Or your freezer, sorry.
Plus three.
I don't understand the reference.
Put beers outside?
Yeah, I'll put beers outside.
Fuck yeah, you
are. Are you going to put beers outside, Hank?
If it snows.
You can do it in cold weather in general. It's not just a snow thing.
Anytime.
Why did that set Hank off? Love beers outside.
Beers outside.
It's God's
back.
Refrigerator.
It's back
the best.
Of the week.
Yeah.
Okay, my...
Reminder for you before you make this pick, a reminder from last week, do not bet the Chargers.
Fuck. Okay.
Is it actually your pick?
Yes, my pick.
You told me last week on Sunday.
Yeah, +3. I was like, well, they'll keep it close. Like, it's going to be, who can decide between the Bengals? The Bengals and the Chargers have to be the most, like, volatile Well, I don't know.
You know what? You know what this game makes me think of right here. This game absolutely makes me think tie.
Yeah.
Can I predict a tie?
So then I should take the plus three.
I'm predicting it. My numbers are telling me this is going to be a tie this
week. Okay, so that sucks. Thank you, Jake. I'm going to take Washington football team then.
Thank you.
All right, Washington football team plus two. I really did like the Chargers because it does... Like
if, I love the Chargers.
I don't think the Chargers are good. I think the Bengals might be good, but they're also due for a loss. So this is like a... Both these teams are basically the same exact team where... they will have stretches where they look incredible and then stretches where they look terrible. So put them together. Who the fuck knows? Take the three.
I think all we know about these two teams is their average is usually slightly above average.
Right.
If you look at the totality of every game that they played.
All right. So I'm taking Washington football team plus two. Billy.
Jets, 6.5. We have a lot of Eagles favorites in this room. So I think the flip's going to be there.
Billy, you know what I just realized? You could have easily just started picking like the opposite side of each game and we wouldn't have figured it out. Like if you had just now taken Washington football team, we would have been like, all right, Jake, what's next?
I know. And people have been telling me that the whole time. I could have just been going 500, but I realized that 500 won't actually keep me in the middle of the pack. So I corrected. I'm still in the middle of the pack.
Where do you think the middle of the pack's going to be?
The middle of the pack's probably going to be around 53%.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's
a great pack. We're sharps. We're sharps.
That's what it is right now.
I know, which is crazy.
We're all about 500.
Well, there will be a week where we fall off.
It's because we hit all of our unders every week.
Yes.
Oh, we went perfect in the favorites last week, too.
Wow.
Hank, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Win's a win.
Okay, Jake, your underdog.
I'm fading Hank. I'm taking the Steelers plus four. They looked awful last week. Can't look worse. They're at home. What's the saying, PFT?
You got to throw out the record books when these teams get together.
Boom.
No love lost, Jake.
It is the
I'd be rooting for Mason Rudolph. Like every time I bet the Steelers.
Oh, yeah. Big Ben's so bad.
So bad.
But it is the Tomlin effect. Tomlin is like, Tomlin could have a team that's
can't
just
fix broken, though.
He can rah-rah anyone.
For like a temporary stay of execution, Tomlin can do it. Are they going to be listening to music? That's what I want to know.
Claypool's suggestion. He probably will like do something where before the game, he'd be like, fellas, I've been thinking long and hard about it. We go beat the Ravens, music all week.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You're over, Hank.
We've talked about this. Sloppy toppy. That means some crazy shit's going to happen. Plus, it's so low, so I'm taking the Giants-Dolphins over 40.5.
Okay.
It's always alive, no matter what.
Yeah, because it's so low. Yes.
Just the number, number 40.5 is a gross thing to say for football.
Just need like 10 points by halftime.
I have that as my under, but now I might change because you are, like what you said makes sense. You're never dead in that. If you have 13 points at halftime, you're very much alive. Okay, Bubba, you're under. By the way, Tua is awesome.
Over that comparison?
Yes.
I'm going to do Falcons Bucks over 50.5.
Okay.
Seems fun.
Love it.
No Antonio Brown, but that's not really different for the Bucks.
Nope,
they don't have anything really to adjust to. I did see a very funny quote from Gronk, though, earlier this week. It said that he likes Tom Brady so much because Tom Brady knows what Gronk is thinking even before Gronk knows what he's thinking. Which, it's hilarious, and it's probably 100% accurate. I think I know what Gronk, most people know what Gronk is thinking.
Correct.
He's either hungry or
69.
Drunk. Yeah.
Or catch ball.
Yes, exactly. Catch, run.
Shout out the Bucks locker room. That was actually a very cool moment. I don't know if you guys saw it, went mini viral, but a kid in Michigan, I want to say, randomly was FaceTiming his teammates, and he put in one wrong number, and it FaceTimed Sean Murphy Bunting on the Bucks, and he was in the locker room, and he walked around and like he got Gronk, he got Brady on the FaceTime with these high school kids.
That's pretty awesome.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Something nice, you know? Nice little moment.
For the kids.
Yeah. Okay. You're over, PFT.
My over, I'm going to go with Chargers Bengals over. 50.5.
Does the weather scare you at all?
Not at all.
Do you know the weather?
Nope. That's why it doesn't scare me.
Let me look
if you
up
tell
the
me
weather.
If I start thinking about the weather, sure, it's going to scare me.
I actually don't know the weather. I just feel like this is a weather game.
You're assuming the weather.
I am. Mm-hmm. I just assumed the weather. I'm going to look it up right now.
It's like if you don't look at the nutrition information on the side of a really unhealthy thing that you're about to eat, the calories don't count. That's what I don't want to know the weather. I just want to say 50.5, take the over.
Okay, the weather. This might also be Glenny Balls incepting me. Yes. showers, rain.
Okay.
Lots of rain. Oh, yeah, this is the game that Glennie Balls said there could be up to a half an inch of rain.
That's not that much rain.
That's a lot of rain.
Half an inch?
I think so.
I don't think that's that much rain.
Is that a lot of rain?
No.
I feel like that's a decent amount of rain.
It's like this much rain?
That's this much rain?
Yeah, about that much rain.
Subscribe to the YouTube.
Yeah, that's that much
watch
rain.
The YouTube.
Yeah, no problem.
What's a decent amount of rain? Jake, look it up for me.
It's going to be 52, 26 to 26. That gets me to 52.
Yep. All right, my over. I'm going to take the 49ers Seahawks over 45 and a half. I think both defenses are kind of suspect. It does suck that Deebo Samuel's out. But this is my way of – I meant everything I said about the Seahawks. I will not bet on them. I think Russ shouldn't have come back this early, but this is my way of betting on Russ maybe turning the corner and starting to play well without betting on the Seahawks.
They're going
to
have to force feed the ball to DK Metcalf early in the game.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Because like the way that he was checked out – like he didn't want to be on the field anymore at the end of that game.
Oh, it's just very, very stupid. I know they're coaches and they know more football than we ever know, but like, how do you not say, hey, first 15 plays, like script a slant to DK Metcalf that you know he's going to get open with because he's a beast.
Yeah, we have maybe, a top three receiver in the league. He should probably get the ball in his hands occasionally. Yeah. Also, we forgot about Tyler Lockett. Did you know that Tyler Lockett's a virgin?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, that story kind of fizzled away.
Yeah.
Kind of a
well, because he's weird, with Russ, so it's not...
You think he might be lying about it just to get more balls from Russ.
Yes.
Like, that actually makes sense. On one hand, you got a guy that's plowing through four chicks in a night. On the other side of the field, it's a guy that sleeps alone all the time. Russ is feeding that guy.
Yeah, someone actually had the stat that it was like DK Metcalf has like three catches since the foursome.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, it was good. Yeah. There it was. Of course. Bonk. Go ahead, Billy. You're over.
Wait, you brought it up.
No, I know because you brought it up.
Okay.
He's a virgin.
All right.
So then I brought it up, but then I remembered it was your stat because it was a sex stat, which you're on top of. Credit to you.
And bottom.
You're always on top of sex stats. Billy.
Colts, Texans, 45 and a half.
Okay.
Thought it would be a good under, so I'm picking it to be an over.
This has the makings of a clowning.
Exactly. I think it's going to be a run-up.
Clowning?
Colts running up.
The run-up?
Yep.
A run-up.
Give me a predictive score.
38-14 Colts.
Wow. 38-14 Colts. I'll take it.
How many touchdowns for Jonathan Taylor? Or is this like a Carson Wentz get-right game?
I think it's Carson Wentz get-right game. Sam Ellinger, late-game touchdown.
In Texas, back home.
In Texas.
Ooh, what if Sam came in and got you that over?
Yeah, put him in for the blowout.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do think this is going to be a run-up game. I agree with you, Billy.
Run it up.
All right, Jake.
I'm in with you, Big Cat. 45 and a half on San Fran, Seattle, by the way. Half an inch is light rain and is not considered.
What's real rain? An inch?
Tornadoes is real rain.
Inch and a half?
I think an inch.
Anything? Okay. Yeah, like I would say like...
so half an inch, I'm wrong. Hand up.
I know if they say like 3 inches, then you're fucked.
Got it.
That's like a downpour.
You notice everything over two.
Now this one says heavy rainfall is more than 0.3 inches.
So we have conflicting reports. Half an inch is real rain.
Light rainfall is considered less than 0.1.
Nothing confuses this podcast more than weather.
So wait, Billy, you said like if it's over two, then it's like real rain?
That's when you're looking outside and it's like it's fucking raining. That's like cats and dogs is two.
Cats and dogs is 2 inches.
Yeah,
got it.
That actually makes sense to me. Okay, thank you.
All right, Hank, you're under. We'll wrap up with unders.
Talked about this game a lot. Steelers-Ravens, under 44. Big Ben sucks. Their offense is terrible. Mike Tomlin, good coach. He's going to get the defense fired up. They're going to, keep Lamar Jackson down, but not out. Ravens cover, under 44.
Okay, I like that pick.
I got Vikings Lions under 46 and a half.
This is a get right game for Kirk, by the way, especially with Dalvin Cook out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Kirk stat game.
Mm-hmm.
You're under PFT.
I'm going to take the under in Broncos Chiefs.
I am too.
I think it makes no sense. I don't understand why I'm attracted to it, but it's 47 points. It's in Kansas City. It's a primetime game. This is like when we bet the over, which was our way of betting on the Chiefs. I want to bet on the Chiefs in this game, but I also want to take the under. It makes no sense because you would think if you're going to bet on the Chiefs, then go ahead and tack the over onto it. I think the Chiefs win like 25 to 10.
Yeah, I'm taking it. My analysis is that the Chiefs defense is playing better. The Broncos defense has played well since Von Miller's been out. And on top of all of that, there's nothing that happens more often than on a Sunday night where I'm like, ugh, I'll just take the over, and it always loses. This it just reeks of a, ugh, I'll just take the over, and it loses, so under.
I also think that we have a high potential to see Drew Lock in this game.
Really? Why?
Because Teddy just gets knocked around a lot.
Yeah, but he came back even with an injury last week.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
Drew Lock is that bad.
I'm saying that even when Teddy, when he's playing well, he'll still go out for a couple plays, and all it takes is one play for Drew Lock to come in.
To fuck shit up. Yep. All right, we both have the under 47. Go ahead, Billy.
Chargers-Bengals 15.5. Because you think it's going to be an over.
And there's also a half an inch of rain.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is news that we just got.
Yep. Half an inch, though.
Half an inch of rain.
So 1 inch is a cat. 2 inches is cats and dogs.
2 inches is like when you look outside and it's like it's raining cats and dogs. Like, yeah. That's when people are like, oh, it's raining.
What's
raining.
3 inches? What's the third animal?
Dude.
Frogs.
Yeah. Cats, dogs, and frogs.
Sometimes it does rain frogs.
Yeah, it's called the plague.
Yeah, the bylaw.
Hydro
yeah.
tornadoes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Sure. Jake, you're under.
Eagles, Jets, under 45. This stream's 13-9.
Okay. 13-9. I like that. That's a good score. Although that would mean the Eagles didn't cover.
Okay. 16-9?
That's a cover.
Yeah.
And an under.
Yeah.
All right. Games we missed. Jaguars, Rams. I mean, if the Rams don't beat the Jaguars by 21 plus, they stay in the fraud and they go to extra fraud.
I don't think that there's anything they can do in this game to get themselves out of the fraud pile.
If they win by like 45, they won't get out of the fraud pile, but no. I'll put a circle on them being like, maybe not as bad as I thought.
You know what I'll do? I'll do the like Denzel Washington gift. Okay.
Yeah.
I see you.
Yep.
That's the best that they can do. Like, you can check something. You can check a box this week.
Yeah. And then we talked about everything else. Wow, we hit everything else. And then we obviously will talk on – I mean, do you want to say anything about the Patriots-Bills game for the division? We'll be there. We'll see you on Monday, Buffalo.
For the division part one.
Okay. Perfect. So then we're good. We'll recap everything on Wednesday. That'll be perfect. Okay. Any other? Oh yeah, I mean, I have my game of the year with Georgia versus Alabama. If anyone has any thoughts on Saturday's games, great football weekend. One of my favorites with meaningful, like very meaningful college football games, and a slate that's weird, but who cares? Because everything matters right now.
I'm a little bit afraid for Michigan
and Georgia.
I want.
Are you now?
I'm not afraid
in,
for
in
Georgia.
In the spirit of camaraderie and friendship, I probably wouldn't, but. The money line signals go up.
I definitely am scared about Georgia because I put that bet in on Sunday night right when we finished our show, which was feels like 10 years ago. Michigan, you think, will be... Iowa can't score.
No, it's not that I'm afraid. Or it's not that I think that Iowa's going to beat them. It's just that I'm afraid that Michigan's going to lose because we have a lot of emotional investment over the years in Coach Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And he's so close right now.
I know.
That I'm more so afraid of just the disappointing, crushing loss that could be coming my way.
Yeah, no, he wins this game, and if you add what he did last week with this week, he goes from, like, it's a success. Mm-hmm. Like, Michigan has been a success for him because he got them to where they need to be.
And they're kind of the same team in certain ways. I know that Michigan definitely has a lot more speed, but... They play similar styles of football where it's just like we're going to count on our guys up front to bully the other team. And so, I don't know. I hope my fears are unfounded.
Okay, so we're rooting for Michigan there. I am just because I want the Big Ten to have a representation in the playoff. And we'll see if Cincinnati finds a way to get screwed or if we can root for Notre Dame. I want to put a future on Notre Dame, but it's very stupid. It's like 33-1, which would be fun.
Yeah.
But you can't put a future on something like that and then lose it 2 hours later.
It would be absolutely absurd, though, if the college football playoff committee, they just said, well, you know what? Since Brian Kelly's not there, we're not going to give you the opportunity, which is it's a possibility.
Wait. They already did say that.
Well, no, I'm saying if it played out in the final rankings.
I know they've alluded to it,
but I'm saying if it actually played out that way and they docked him because Kelly wasn't there and then they didn't get into the playoff because they didn't have their coach – by that logic, then LSU should make a massive leap in the standings because they do have a Brian Kelly.
Yes, yes.
So either that or just rooting for if they hire Fickle and then having Fickell coach against his old team.
Well, they did.
That would be crazy.
Did they hire Marcus Freeman full time as the head coach? It feels like they did. I don't. It's a very weird thing that's going on. I know he's the head coach right now.
I think they re-signed Tommy Rees.
They did
to
do
stick
that.
Around.
I know that, but I'm pretty sure they made him full head coach, which is, I don't know. I mean, if he's the one who's recruiting everyone,
yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, so it's not even Luke Fickell time. That's crazy. Good for him. All right, before we get to Fantasy Fuckboys and our interview with...
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Fantasy Fuckboys.
Yo, yo, we're back, boys. Welcome back, Carter.
What's up?
Doing? What up? My style, my name is Seamus Sheehan.
Seamus,
which island are you from? That's not the boot.
My stardom is hot cider.
Cider.
Fuck eggnog. Worst holiday
How hot?
Drink.
Hey,
hey.
How hot?
You need to win a holiday drink. You take some applesauce. You take some Jack Daniels. Put it in a pot. Boil it up. Hot cider for the people.
Applesauce.
Jesus Christ, that sounds delicious.
My situm is dick pound.
Yeah.
No Nut November's over. And this motherfucker said that Peng Shui is 100% fine after one video call.
Oh, I trust my life to dick pound.
He don't know shit.
Zoom call. That's it?
That's it.
Wow.
He's a sheep. My sleeper is the sad guy looking out the bus and another guy looking out the other side looking happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
That's
great
a good one.
Good
meme.
One. Classic.
Good
totally not overused.
No, I like it. You got the mountain on that side. Yeah, that's a tremendous view.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Good, because he's got two conflicting thoughts.
Me
at
when
once.
The pod's out
one
versus
dog's
me when it's
looking
not.
Looking that way. The other dog's looking this way. And then this guy's like, what do you want from me?
Yeah, Hank betting on the Steelers with all of us, sadly, and then Hank with his fucking crazy parlay, and the Chargers still alive looking out the happy side.
Hank, look at
I hope the whole bus goes off the fucking cliff and he dies in a burning fire. Not to bring up old stuff.
Hank looking at the mountain on one side, and the mountain is applesauce shit, and then PFT on the other side looking out at some ice cold beers outside that very bus.
PFT looking at his refrigerator versus PFT looking at his backyard.
All right.
What's up, you fuckheads? It's me, Chris Cuomo. Got some free time on my hands at the moment.
Fredo.
I'm starting. Hey.
Don't say that. That's a slur.
Bleep that out.
That's a slur.
It's like using. It's like using some other words to some
other
people.
Bad words.
Yeah. All right. I need to compose myself now. I'm starting using the phrase Paolo Crampero. I feel like that one's got some legs on it.
Yikes.
Paolo Crampero. I'm just getting out in front of it before Colin Cowherd or Skip Bayless uses it. This guy's more dehydrated than my brother's cannoli, if you know what I'm saying. I'm sitting Zion Williamson. He's hurt. He's getting fat again. Had a little too much turkey for Thanksgiving. Take a seat.
We don't unit shame.
But he's a little injured right now. Maybe save some of the feasting for the seven fishes. They're a lot more nutrition friendly. And then my sleeper, I'm sleeping Spotify. Love you guys over at Spotify. Thank you everyone that sent us a little message saying that you spent 30,000 minutes of your year listening to us dickheads jammer on like a bunch of idiots on this show. We love you guys.
Hell
mwah,
yeah.
Mwah.
Hell
Kiss
yeah.
of death. Mwah, mwah.
All right,
give us the fucking bag, Spotify.
Give us the fucking bag, Spotify. I need a bigger refrigerator.
My stardom. What's up, Tommy Tortellini? My stardom is Psycho T. I saw that guy last night. UNC Michigan. Michigan stinks, by the way. I fucking love Psycho T.
Pussy.
I fucking love that guy. Sorry that your guys have alcohol withdrawals and lose 7 pounds because they can't drink while they play sports.
Paolo Crampero.
Oh, nice. Got him. My situm is my diet. I found out today I can jump out of an airplane and don't have to be 220, so fuck that diet. I'm back, baby. And then my sleeper is Tua. Tua's getting compared to Tom Brady as a rookie. That's no big deal, but Tua's back.
Real quick, pause. I love the fact Tom that Brady, your strategy on the diet was good. To just get a second opinion on an airplane, an aviation expert, until you found somebody that was like, you can jump out of a plane.
I could still lose 20 pounds if I had to. I just would have had to literally, my diet plan was literally going to be stop eating like 6 days before and just lose 20 pounds. I would have done that.
All right, fuck boys, back on.
All right.
What up? It's Gio Testaverde.
Sub GG.
Gio.
My stardom is Hunter Renfrow. The guy just swallows balls.
Wait, we already heard this stat.
I know, but it was written down from
this
earlier.
This guy swallows balls.
He just takes them.
All right.
He doesn't drop them. Anyway, my sitem is Keith Olbermann. Silence.
Fuck that guy.
My sleeper is LeBron James because he's with the fishes.
Lay fishy.
Something's fishy.
Lay fishy.
La fish James. La fish.
All right. Lay Fishy was such a great skip. Yeah, by the way, Spotify, that every year, end of the year wrap, it like blows my mind that everyone is so loyal and listens to so many shows, so thank you. It does. It like makes me feel bad that I'm not smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you listen to me being an idiot.
No, I think that's part of the charm because people we're giving them the gift of feeling like they're smarter than us.
Correct.
Which you are, likely, if you're listening to the sound of my voice. I want to get a Spotify thing. I saw Russillo said he wants to know like how many cheeseburgers he ate in a year, like an end of the year wrap for more things. I think it's I would love to know like every stat in my life, how many craps I took. I want to know how many times I ordered delivery to my house instead of to the office.
That's the microchip in the vaccine.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what everything we all
except
got, bro.
Except for screen time. That's the one thing I actually don't want to know.
Screen time's bad.
That's what happens in heaven.
Wait, oh, they tell you the screen stats? Yeah. They have your stats.
Allegedly.
I'm going to put up some fucking allegedly. Numbers in garbage time.
Who has allegedly told you that?
It's a Tommy Smokes tweet.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Wow. We're at the bottom now. You're repurposing Tommy Smokes tweets for this show?
There were several people have tweeted that.
And I love Tommy, but...
It wasn't my original take.
Okay.
I wasn't claiming it. That's why I said allegedly.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's not how it works. You can't steal someone's joke and be like, allegedly.
No, Billy's right. By saying allegedly, he implies that it was somebody else's joke.
Yeah.
That's a really great way to literally steal someone else's joke.
Allegedly. I'm pretty sure Tommy's not the only one to tweet
Billy,
that.
Billy, give him a hat tip right now.
Tommy,
hat
great
tip. No, tip your hat.
Oh.
Yeah. Respect. Jeter. There you
go. Top of the morning.
All right, Jake, what do you got before we get to Frank?
One quick thing piggybacking off the fantasy segment.
Can you do it in the fuckboys voice?
A guy on Quinnipiac, a game I'm calling this weekend, his name is Jacob Rigoni.
Oh!
Jacob Rigoni.
All right, give us Jacob Rigoni from three.
Jacob Rigoni, foot three.
Oh! Ooh, I like it. If you do that, I will make me very happy.
Yeah. How about this? Jacob Rigoni pulls up from Little Italy.
Ooh,
ooh, I like
nice.
That.
Yeah,
nice.
Feel free to use that one.
Yeah. All right, yeah, everyone tune in to Jake.
Friday 7, Sunday 2.
Love it.
Jacob
I'm
Rigoni.
Bet the games,
sounds like a chef at a restaurant that Rick Pitino would take a lady to.
Oh, don't say that. Nope. Don't say that, Jake.
By the way, talking to the assistant tonight, as expected, they did not give me the...
Yeah, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Slick Rick. It's Rick Pitino.
Sticky
Love Week.
Rick.
All right, Frank Caliendo, before we get to that, PFT, you had a quick word?
Before we get to Frank Caliendo, I want to talk to you. Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, we now welcome on our good friend, Frank Caliendo, recurring guest. He's back out on... the road.
Yeah, doing a little bit.
Yeah, he's got Hard Rock in Atlantic City on December 3rd, and then he's got Wind Creek Event Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on the 4th. So that's this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
good to have you back out on the road. I have to ask, though, you said when you sat down, we asked how you're doing, you said good enough.
I'm getting older, and I'm traveling around. It's just not the same. And,
yeah.
I mean, I used to get off a plane, and you're going to find this ridiculous, but I used to get off a plane and go play in a ping pong tournament.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah.
Are you good?
I'm pretty, yeah.
I've actually seen you practice before, like working on your backhand. You've got one of those machines that fires it at you, right?
Yeah. Not Olympic level, but probably...
Huh.
Yeah.
We have something of a...
semi-pro sports league here in this office.
Oh,
and ping pong is one of the recurring events.
You're going to have to play Jake.
You're going to have to play Jake. Is Jake here?
We have a guy who's the best in the office.
Well,
he's the best
I'm
one
willing
here.
To play. I brought my paddle.
You did.
It's a lot like Roy Hobbs in The Natural, where I carry it around in a trombone case.
Wait, so are you trying to like shark people with that, or are you just like
no, a it's
guy?
$250 paddle.
Yeah, but you're carrying it everywhere.
Well, I carry it just in case a ping pong game breaks out.
Got it.
Well, and you never know where that's going to happen. Like for example, right here.
Uh-huh.
At Pardon My Take.
Yes.
So, do you have anything that's booked up right after this interview?
I do. I have to fly out.
Oh, what time?
We could get done 5 minutes early. That's all it's gonna take.
Yeah, all right, fine. Where's Jake? Is he here?
Page Jake.
Yeah. He's doing it. All right, so
you must page him.
We're gonna sacrifice 5 minutes of this interview so that you
I'm fine with that. I only brought up like 23 minutes worth of material.
Okay, perfect.
I am glad though that you're back on the road. It's good to see comedians get back out there and start interacting with live audiences. You strike me as a guy that, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but over the years where I've seen you perform, like when I hear about you going on tour, your tour dates are largely around like these types of event centers, and like you've played your fair share of casinos before.
Yeah.
And I'm always curious when you're playing at a casino. Do they set you up in like the sweetest hotel room? And if
it can, it possibly. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious. Like when you get to a really nice hotel room, if you're there, I don't know if you travel with family or whatever, but if you're there on your own, they give you like the biggest place. What's your routine to get settled into a casino?
Oh, I don't have a routine at all. I just show up. I'm there for as little as I can be. That's just good. That's kind of, I get somewhere and I try to get home because I have two kids.
Instantly, yeah.
That's, you know. My son and daughter, my son is 17, my daughter's 15 now, so it's getting to the point where they don't care about me as much anymore, so I don't have to race home, and I'm not going to race home for my wife, but it's you know, there is some of that, but it's kind of a situation where when they were little kids, I tried to be there as much as I could, so I would just get in and out, and I just kind of have that as a habit.
Right.
So I don't really, I hide, I just stay away from everybody, and that's about it, but I usually don't get there till the day of. And then I'm only there for 5 or 6 hours, and I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I don't enjoy. Listen, I wish I could give you a better answer. I just don't. No, I don't enjoy a lot in life.
A lot.
Yeah, I just do things. I go on the road and I try to get home. I try not to, but that's just my mentality.
Yeah, no. You sound like. And I've had moments in the past year or so where I've thought about this, and it's terrible to say, obviously COVID aside, but. Kind of miss quarantine sometimes. I miss the idea that you didn't have any, like, hey, are you going to come to this thing? Are you going to do this thing?
Yeah, travel? I just say no to people, though.
Yeah,
they're always
smart.
Like, they're always asking me if I can go to something, and I'm like, I'm not going to say yes and then not show up. I'm just like, I'm probably not going to go.
I say no a lot.
And some people respect you for that. Some people think you're a jerk, but I'd rather have the people think I'm a jerk for that than just saying, at the last second, not showing up. Do you ever, like, you guys go somewhere where you're hoping a really famous person is going to show up? Like, this is years ago. I did shows in Milwaukee at the Riverside Theater, and J.J. Watt, I was texting back and forth with J.J. because I'd met him through Twitter, but we grew up in the same area in Wisconsin. And I was just like hoping he was going to come to the show and with his brothers, and I was waiting to the last second. And the more famous somebody is, the later their decisions are made on where they're going to
Correct.
Be. Correct. Right? So, like, J.J., as famous as he is, you get to somebody like a Ryan Reynolds, you don't know if you're going to, you know, you're just hoping. But it was one of those things where I'm just hoping, then, you know, 5 minutes before the show, I'm coming. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. You know,
Hell, those
kinds of cool things. And then I remember doing this where his brothers were still in college and maybe even high school at the time. And I knew stuff about them because I Wikipedia'd. And JJ totally called me on it because I'm like, you're the fullback and you're the tight end at the time.
I think it was like you don't watch high school football right now.
Yeah. And he's like, you Wikipedia that, huh? I'm like, absolutely. I'm also wearing shoes that are 2 inches high.
It actually would have been a lot creepier if you just knew a lot of stuff about T.J. Watt
right,
and Derek Watt in high school.
You've got to come clean at that point.
Yes.
But it's kind of fun to... I wanted to have some information.
Yeah.
But
You came with it. They're the nicest
Because I didn't want
guys.
Them to look... Like, they weren't Derek and T.J. at that point, and especially T.J.
Right.
People just knew J.J. for real, so I was like, I want these guys to feel welcome, too. But
That's
I really
funny.
Care that JJ's here.
We forgot. I should have started. Sorry for Your Loss with John Gruden.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, so I think you were actually the person most people thought of, like, immediately after the news. They're like, oh, John Gruden got fired. Oh, no. Frank Caliendo, is he going to have to retire?
I'm going to go back and we'll come back to that. But in terms of, this is funny. Years before, I don't know if this still happens, but if you Googled John Madden, I came up before him.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Well, that's how crazy that is.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. You lose Gruden, but then they got the John Madden special coming out.
So yeah, people keep asking me, am I a part of that?
That's up for you.
I think they probably, and I'm going to milk it.
I'm in the news again.
Yeah, right.
Caliendo is important for this, you know? You know, you might lose a guy that you can't do because of emails, and then you got another guy that you can do because of a documentary, and then boom!
Paychecks keep coming in.
Yeah,
it's one way or another.
I do look at it like that, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of those things.
And yeah. So Gruden, that was tough.
Yeah, I mean, Gruden was 3 minutes of my act.
Mm-hmm.
So people, I don't know if it's the algorithm or what, but that's stuff that would take off on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. So that's what people saw and thought that I was doing that all the time. I'm like, for 3 years, mm-hmm. I didn't even do any of it.
Right.
So I'm not doing it on stage, right? I get worried. This is where I get worried. Is somebody's just going to have a camera and they're going to put take a little piece. Because my stuff is really about celebrating people. There's nothing to celebrate there right now.
Well, what about
you could say, Roger Goodell is a clueless anti-football pussy.
Yeah, why not a dramatic reading of his emails?
Oh, you think that would be really good for my career?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
it's not your emails, it's John Gruden's emails.
Right, but people will, people will associate, or you said, mm-hmm. people will associate with me doing that. All of a sudden, it's just gone. I mean, I had everybody ask me to do that kind of stuff. I'm like, I can't. All the stuff I do is corporate. That's all my stuff. I'm like, I am in it for the money, guys.
And in it for the money and admitting that outright and being like, I'm corporate. I want to be home. I'd rather be home. I love that.
Yeah.
I
think it's the honesty.
Yes.
Is what's at
yes.
There. If my job was to do, a lot of what you guys do and have fun, if that was my brand, to go out there and agitate a little bit and make fun and really push things hard, yeah. I think it would be fine. But it's very out of character for me. And mm-hmm. then people say, well, why do you still do Trump? I go, well, Trump's still in power. You know, he's still got power. He might not be president, but I can say pretty much anything I want. You know, it's that he's still at a high level there where it hasn't affected him. And
right.
I look at Gruden, I go, I'm also close to some people on the team. I know, Derek Carr mm-hmm. has become a decent friend over time. I spoke to the team a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I think about some of that stuff, and I got weirded out by it myself, I'll be honest with you. There's a little piece of me that goes, man, I feel like I'd be crushing some of these people that let me into their world.
Yeah,
it was
fair.
Because mm-hmm. it was because of Gruden.
Yeah.
But, there were people there, Mark Davis could have said, no, he can't be here, but he didn't,
Did you get to meet Mark Davis?
Yeah.
What's he like?
Exactly what he looks like.
That's awesome.
But he was sweet, dude, alive. Sweet, very sweet, nice,
coolest amazing guy,
coolest guy
in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see his van?
I did not. I remember. Listen, I don't know if this is too much to say, but you guys would like this guy. I remember the first time I talked to the team, they were on a terrible losing streak. Both times I talked to the team, they won. By the way, so. They wanted me there all the time.
Yeah.
But it was I remember saying to Mark Davis, I think you guys got something here. It's going to turn around. He goes, I hope so. It was just like a very sad, the Dutch boy hair thing.
Yeah.
It was just a very God. And he was just sitting outside of the elevators at the hotel. I remember there was another time. I remember the second time I went there, the one that ended up on Hard Knocks,
mm-hmm.
that they could not find Antonio Brown. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
Nobody knew where he was.
I remember it.
Like people were looking for him and he was behind a plant, a plastic plant.
His
at one
feet
point.
Were falling
yes.
off.
That was the stuff that was on TV. There was other stuff. You're going, what is going on? I don't think it fazed the team at that point, but it was kind of weird stuff. I don't know.
So
but yeah.
Are there any voices that you work on? Should I say impressions or just voices?
I like both. Both those are good. See,
because what you do is a little bit more than voices. You actually get into the character.
I try
sometimes.
To find the person.
You do the facial things, which I feel like that's what set you apart sometimes from other people that do just voices.
Yeah, you, like, there's something. You try to find the face. You try to find. I do these things on TikTok now because I'm young and hip. But these, you know, it's like how to do an impression. One of the first things they do is teach you how to do the face or say what to do the face. And I give an example. So for somebody like Donald Trump, it's like he's looking into an aquarium and mimicking the fish, right? You do this, that fishy face like that. Or Michael Keaton has the kind of thing where there's a smell in the room and he's been hired to try and figure out what it is. Okay, so it stinks, and you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. And then you find out how do they pronounce their S's or vowels or something like that. So, you know, Madden makes a face like he just ate a full lemon, that kind of thing right there. So it's, I don't even do dead on impressions or voices. I do more of impressions. I find ways to, you know, to create characters out of them because then you can do a lot more with it. I'm trying to think, you know, the old school way of doing thing is nail the voice and then you just have it. That's like a very 70s-ish kind of thing. Dana Carvey had the big cartoon character version of something.
Yeah.
And I like to be right in the middle. You know, Daryl Hammond's that same way. He just nails things. You're like, oh, my God. And I've had this conversation with Joey Molinaro. I talked with him a bunch of stuff. He's great. Like when he does Colin Cowherd, he's got the seven different things that Cowherd does. And you're going, oh God, yeah. And the little laugh into something. And you go, those are the cadences. Those are the things that get you into the characters and make it fun. And then you can do other things with it. Samuel L. Jackson, I did a thing that was just, it doesn't even matter what you say. You just go da 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 da, and you can fill in the blanks for what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Are there any impressions that you've worked on that were like a little niche, like something that you just wanted to take on because you thought it would be fun? Or at this point in your career, are you like, all right, I need to be smart. I'm going to go with the ones that are going to be the broadest. You know, the ones that more people
like.
That's
the thing. Can it attract enough of an audience? The internet can make you change that a little bit because you can go for more niche stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You can try and find weird ones that are interesting. On the whole, the bigger, broader, if somebody starts doing a commercial, when Charles Barkley started doing commercials, are you my five? You know, it's the $5 box, it rocks, it rocks. You know, all those commercials that you do, that brings somebody to more than just their sport. They're doing something a lot more than that. So are there niche people? Yes. I mean,
Island Boys?
I don't even understand what's happening.
Big Time Tommy. You know, Big Time Tommy?
The Island Boys would be great.
I've just seen some. I don't even know what's going. I literally don't know what's happening.
It's the old school way.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Respect. Yeah, that's it. You have to see Big Time Tommy. You'd be a great Big Time Tommy. But yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, I don't have your level with the Patrick Mahomes, you know, that's one that kind of works in there. That's everybody says Kermit the Frog. I think more Kermit the Frog and Frank Oz.
Yeah, I kind of do. Just like if Alex Jones took a bunch of helium.
I'm a coach here. Let me explain something to you. That's not. I will eat my neighbor if it was Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes. I think we get a player. You know, that kind of. Mm-hmm. It's in there. I found this is the thing I always tell people. There's a weird thing with voices, like Kermit the Frog. Hi ho, Kermit the Frog. For some reason, that voice right there, if you bring it down a little bit, becomes John C. Reilly. I had no idea. Did you touch my drum set?
Yeah.
And then it could become Mark Ruffalo. In Endgame, I see this as an absolute win. And it becomes Joe Rogan after that. Like, wow, Jamie, pull that up. Oh, my God. So there's some of these voices are so similar. Chris Hemsworth is up here. You bring it down. It's I am Maximus Decimus Meridius. Mm-hmm. And then it's Russell Crowe out of nowhere. So just finding those. But back to your point, are there weird ones? Yeah, I mean, people love Alex Jones himself is a niche.
I know, yeah.
Person, but there are a certain group of people that if you say that, there's people who love them, people that hate them, and it drives people to care about it.
Yeah. I just think that if it were me, I would get into my problem would be I like a lot of weird stuff that not a lot of people like. Right. I just get like locked onto something nobody cares about. Like, I'm fascinated with Mike Greenberg. I listened to it. Right. I was listening to his show this morning, and it's a real problem that I have. I'm like I'm the person that ESPN is marketing to when they're like, oh, shit, we don't have anybody to do 6 hours of the NBA draft. I know what. Greeny's going to take care of it for us.
Yeah.
You know? But like, I would get too into these little niche things that I would focus too much on and then realize, oh, shit. The entire rest of the world doesn't care about the same stuff I care about. I'm curious for you, like, does do you ever do this for fun at all anymore?
No.
Or is it, yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, that's really a totally fair answer.
It's work. I mean, it's work. Half my life is people, hey, be somebody who's better than you. That's what everybody is. It's like, don't say or be what you are. Do the thing you do. Do the dance. And I don't have a problem with that because I've created a lot of that. I told Julie Molinaro the same thing, like back in the day when I first saw him come on. I go, make sure you do some sketches that are non-impression stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just do some stuff, even if it's sports.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you do a bunch of generic create your own characters, because if I do something that sounds kind of like, you're doing Richard Dreyfuss. No, I'm not. It's just a character I'm
right.
in. You know, it's somebody I'm doing. But I try to make them now. I was doing a Dan Campbell kind of thing the other day, and he turned into Matt Foley, the motivational speaker.
Yeah, they slip into it.
Yeah, it's very close. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I like to go to Starbucks. You know, it's just, get there. And then, but he does, Dan Campbell does those freaking, sound effects. Like, you don't expect this what are you doing? The duck quack from the original Apple computer?
He's got the cheek that he squeezes it. Like one of those, gets a little bit of air in there.
Yeah,
it
he's
all
got
out.
Some interesting things.
I'm going to gas you up a little bit because you said like everyone wants you to be somebody that's better than you. You are actually probably the best at what you do of this generation, I would say.
In some ways, the most known. It depends. You have to determine what is best. I mean, there are people who are better at dead-on impressions. Like nailing a voice. There's a difference. So you said voices or impressions earlier. I like impressions because it's kind of gives you license to create something else with it. People will say impersonation. When I say impersonation, I go, I don't do any impersonations. An impersonation is when you are in Vegas, you're dressing up as the person pretending to be the Michael Jackson guy. That's what it is to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just had this niche thing for sports where I get in there, and there weren't a lot of people doing that kind of thing. You know, before the internet was around, before there were shows like your show, there weren't people doing and messing and doing a lot of comedy with sports.
Mm-hmm.
And people in...
It's like the one piece that's always been lost. Like, you know, they try to do the Daily Show for sports. It's actually impossible.
Yeah,
no one's been able to pull it off.
And I've had people come to me and say that, and I'm like, how many writers do I get?
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, we just thought you could do it yourself. I'm like, no. Do you realize there are literally maybe 10, 15, 20 writers on a show to create something? Yeah. That's
we were actually really smart for quitting our show on ESPN2 after one episode because we realized that it wasn't going to work out. So we said, take this job and shove it. We're out. Good luck finding somebody to replace us.
I remember reading about that like the next day. I pulled it up like you guys were there and then you were gone. I'm like, okay. Well, it never made sense of me in the first place.
No, they never actually really let us in the building. The closest we got was the parking lot for the interview with Scott Van Pelt, but they never actually brought us fully onto campus. We're outdoor cats.
Yeah. That's weren't you like in an ambulance? I remember you guys being in the
van,
back of a truck.
A van.
That's what I remember. Yeah. I remember seeing the picture. Like you guys, like whatever.
I'm still own the van. I'm trying to get our intern, who's now full time, Billy, to sell it, and he won't fucking do it. It's a big point of contention around here.
I bet. Yeah, it feels like. I can still feel the tension.
All right. This is the 5 minutes we're going to give you so you can go play Jake.
Oh,
you
need to play Jake. I had two things I want to tell you about.
All right, tell us.
Two things. Yeah. One of my favorite things just happened recently was I got a call from Jim Nantz because they do the Tony Romo and Jim Nantz.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who haven't heard it, it's just my Tony Romo is just him excited about, Jim, this is going to be incredible and amazing and amazingly incredible. And here we go, Jim. And then I say, Tony, when something crazy is going to happen, because it's like somebody messes with the volume meters when Nantz gets excited. But he called me via Michael Lombardi. And because I talked to Michael, he said he was good friends with him. And then Nantz left me the greatest message in the world. He's like, Frankie, Jim Nantz, how are you? I was like, he's like, I was telling him why I say Tony. I'm like, I can't really talk as you. All I can do. So I got one word that works.
It works. Yeah.
And I can use it in any situation. And I said, any time I try to do the impression of you, it turns into Adam West, the original Batman. So then I told him that. And then Nantz starts doing an Adam West. He's like, to the Bat Cave, Robin.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is awesome. This is one of my best days ever when I called him back.
You know, orders toast, right? He carries around pictures of toast in his pocket, and he points at the exact color that he wants to a waitress at a restaurant and says,
what?
This is the toast that I want. I'm Jim Nance. Please bring me my toast.
Please bring me my toast.
I swear to God. Yes. Not making that up.
That's not, I can't tell.
It's not made up. You can Google it after. I know I'm a liar, but this one is actually the truth.
It is true.
Jim, here we go. The toast is a little bit off.
Yes.
What are you going to do? You going to tip the waitress? Tony!
Yes.
I don't remember what the other thing was, so let's go play ping pong.
Yeah, yes. Let's do it. Thank you, Frank. And everyone go check it out. Frank's back on the road.
Yeah.
Atlantic City on Friday night and then Pennsylvania on Saturday.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. 100%.
Yes, cool. Go check it out.
Thanks, FrankOnStage.com for tickets.
Boom. Go check it out right now. Thank you.
Frank Caliendo is brought to you by our great friends over at Roman. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but thinking about baseball doesn't always work. The folks over at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes. It's the secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, they're easy to use, they're fast-acting, but they don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in a discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. You just take the swipes out of the packet, you swipe it on, you let it dry, you're good to go. That's it. So go to GetRoman.com/take. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/take.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Fyre Fest of the Week. Hank, give it to us.
What?
Uh-oh.
It could be...
What? I'm always nervous whenever you give the, like...
No, I think I know what it is.
Oh, actually, I think I know what it is, too.
Yeah.
But I always get nervous when you're like, well...
Well, it could be over. I think you guys both know what it is, too. It could be over by now. But, like, a month and a half ago, I was playing Warzone with M-Rags, doing... He was, like, coaching me, trying to get a solo
Cum
win.
Cum-Rags?
Cum-Rags. Mm. Sorry. And, I was like, I'll get a win before the new season comes out, which is next Monday or Tuesday. And this was a month and a half ago. And he's like, well, if someone said in the chat, if they don't, you'll get duct taped to a wall. I was like, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind I'll get that win. No problem at all. Have not got a win on Wednesday night stream for like 7 hours. Came in second like four times. I'm streaming tonight starting after we record the intro, which we just recorded. So I'm streaming tonight after this.
Okay. So wait, I'm trying to think. You're streaming tonight after the intro, which we just recorded, but by the time you hear this, it will have been last night.
Yes, this will be the very end. So there's a chance that I have won and things are good. If I have not won, I'm going to have to get duct taped to a wall for an we don't know how much time. So I might be streaming when you hear this. I might be, when you wake up, I might still be streaming because I have set aside all my plans, got some energy drinks. I'm ready to go all night if I have to. Because I refuse to get duct taped.
The Detroit Lions of Warzone.
Yeah, I am currently.
And everyone's been saying, like, Hank's, this is the week that he gets it. This is the week he gets it.
And it is.
And
today
you find
is.
Ways to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I would like to offer my services as a coach. I think I can, because I've won a few games. I lost track of how many games. It was like probably six or seven. It was so many that I don't remember how much there were. But I'd like to coach you.
All right, I'll take any
help. I believe in you, Hank.
I'll take
any
help.
And I'm totally not rooting against you because it would be really funny if you had to get duct taped to a wall again.
Right. Thank you, Big Cat. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'll take your coaching advice, PFD.
Okay.
It'd be a real shame if someone unplugged it right before you won.
Gotta be fucking rad. What if you were, if you got down to the last two and then the person logged off right before you kill him?
Oh, that'd be a shame.
Now you win.
Do you?
Yeah, you're the last person left.
Okay.
Are you sure? Technicality?
I'll win. A win's a win. You take that helicopter ride out, that's a win.
Okay. Good luck, Hank.
Thank you.
I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
All right, PFT.
Yeah, I got like a little bit of bad news about my about how my weekend's going to be going, and that's that I'm going to watch sports on Sunday without gambling on any of them. So I have responsibly reached the end of my allocated fund for myself that I had through November. So I have to wait until the end of the month.
Okay.
So I'm going to be, this is actually going to be maybe the hardest thing that I've ever done.
I believe in you.
I think I can do it.
Also, you do have $46 left, so you can just make a parlay that would be sick.
So that's what I'm not going to bet on the games, but I'm going to make several awesome parlays. I guess what I'm saying is I'm really down to my last couple dollars.
That's
in my
okay.
account.
It's responsible.
And
gambling.
I could, in theory, dip into my bank account, take money out, put it into my Barstool Sports account. But I'm leading from the front on this one. I'm going to be responsible.
Nice.
And I'm not going to do it, but I am going to put some sick parlays out. And, I mean, how great would that be if one of them hit?
That would be
and
sick.
And then I'm back in the game.
A sick parlay hitting is sick.
It is sick. And then I use that money to then just, I'm back in the game.
I did say, and I haven't concocted it yet, but I did tell everyone that I do plan on winning the Can't Lose parlay this week. So if you'd like to.
Yeah, but the odds on that.
Maybe I'll make them good for you.
Odds, yeah.
Maybe I think I'll make them crazy.
I'm going to do a weird player prop parlay.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
Well, Godspeed.
Can you bet on a tie?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
I might put my $46 on the Chargers to tie against the Bengals.
That sounds terrible. That sounds so terrible.
Let's go.
All right, my Firefest of the Week is I updated Twitter and it sucks. Have you guys done that recently?
I don't know what's updated.
Yeah, so I updated it because I replied to Keith Olbermann calling him a loser, and then I did the, which is a great trick, to mute the conversation because there's just a bunch of people replying and arguing in my mentions. I didn't want to see it anymore. For some reason, it didn't mute. Jack, you're fucking, fuck you, dude, become the CEO again. So I updated it. Now I'm just lost. Now I'm completely lost. I've reached that point in my life where updating technology really sets me back. It sucks. Billy, do you have an answer for me? Their buttons are different. Like if you hit where search used to be, it's spaces. You can downvote. Yeah.
You just got spaces?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's been on there for a while.
My hard and fast rule with anything on my iPhone is never update unless they manually force you to.
Correct. So they force this on me. The font's different.
I don't like the spaces, the downvotes. Just let me mute the conversations. Because I love just tweeting something and then muting it and being like, I never saw anyone. Billy.
Everyone's stealing the NFTs.
No.
The right clicks?
They're all stolen.
I can't believe that.
Them. They're stealing them.
Right-click pirates?
They're all going to OpenSea.io-Barstool.
Seriously?
Right-clicking and stealing them.
Whatever you do, don't go to OpenSea.io/Barstool and steal any of Billy's NFTs.
Is the project a failure?
No.
What should I report to Dave and
just
Erica?
Just cybercrime. There's cybercrime. It's illegal.
What would you like me
crime.
To say? We tried, but we failed?
There's cyber on cybercrime.
Hey, Billy would like a raise, but he did his big project, and it failed.
It hasn't. There is still time.
Really? How much time's left?
Till Tuesday,
and
2 p.m.
Has anybody bid on him yet?
There's been a couple bids.
Okay.
But the cybercrime needs to stop.
It does. It stops here.
Cybercrime
We'll be
bad.
Prosecuting anyone that right-clicks any of Billy's NFTs to the full extent of the law? Is there a law around that? Probably
well,
not.
Cyber. I just want people to know that.
So, yes, we will be to the full extent of the law.
If you steal these NFTs, you are just harming Billy in his attempt to get a raise. And if you steal them so much, he will actually get a decrease in his salary. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Don't,
and
you don't
you
want to do that.
Tweeting them and retweeting
don't
them
do that.
It will be terrible.
Actually, it would suck if he just was getting paid nothing next year because of this project.
The worst thing ever would be, Billy's right, if people were to retweet the NFTs, because then they're free for more people. Right.
I know. So
don't
stop
do that.
Right-clicking them and stealing them.
Right.
Please.
Okay. Good luck on your project.
My Firefest of the week is my gloves or my winter jacket, and one of them fell out and they're missing.
Oh, you just have one?
Yeah.
I love ending Firefest.
Your Firefest of the week isn't that Frank Caliendo played against you in ping pong?
Is it out? The video's out?
Yeah, I'll put it out today.
All right. We don't want to spoil it.
No, you can spoil it.
He destroyed me.
He's the best in the office?
He's the best in the office. He's the best one here. He brought his own paddle on a media tour.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
yep.
crazy.
He knows. He takes ping pong
him.
Very, very seriously. On Pittsburgh
very
Radio
serious.
Today, I was doing the interview that we do. Big Cat and I alternate every week. Caliendo was in studio. He just ended up talking to me about ping pong for 15 minutes.
And, he plays in professional tournaments, he said.
He had a strategy in the back of his head against you, Jake, where he was setting you up the entire time you were warming
during
up.
Warm ups,
just so he could
him.
Humiliate you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. He's ruthless on the table.
You should got brutal. His shirt on the Barstool store.
Yeah, that's brutal. Best we'll in the see. Office, Frank yeah. Caliendo.
Replace his face. He deserves it.
He
Congrats,
does.
Frank.
Wow, look at that. Sportsmanship.
Yep.
It's always about sportsmanship.
Yep. Of course.
Okay. Good luck, everyone, this weekend. Gambling, watching your teams.
88.
Big conference championship weekend. Game of the year.
18.
Georgia minus 6.5.
ESPN 3.
Six.
Tonight at 7.
What's the number I'm betting? Guessing? 81? Is one that has never been guessed.
8.
81 and 88. Or the 80s.
69.
81. Is 23 the most dominant? No. It's been
47.
Guessed.
That's, that's disrespectful of Mr. 47.
Okay.
47,
the
that's
third
right.
time
47's a goat, yeah.
Okay.
All Minkinry right. is the art of training minks.
Love you guys.
Sorry.